From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Code of Honor on the outside. Vino Rosso, dead game at the rail. These two will decide a thrilling Jockey Club Gold Cup, and it is very close. It looked like Vino Rosso has edged out Code of Honor on the wire.
And Beau Recall in the center of the course. Mirth by 2.5. Beau Recall on the outside of Elysia's World, but they're only battling for second as Mirth makes every pole a winning one in the Rodeo Drive.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And these two lay it on the line with a 16th to go, a late on the inside, Midnight Bizu on the outside. They're coming to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's so close.
A furlong left to run in the Oaks. It's Chauncey and the hometown favorite Late Night Powwow running her down. Chauncey and Late Night Powwow slug it out. Here's Late Night Powwow alongside of Chauncey. Noses up and down. Late Night Powwow wins it for West Virginia.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. I'm Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you once again from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass. If you're going to be heading out to Keeneland here in Lexington later today, you might get a little wet, but you might get lucky too. They're calling for maybe a break in the action with all the rain that is currently falling here in Lexington right around 8 o'clock Eastern time. And hopefully that rain tapers off and we catch a bit of a window before it picks back up later on this evening. And it'll be a great day for closing day of the Keeneland fall meet. Racing shifting to Churchill Downs after that for their fall meet. And of course, sitting here on October 26th, that means that we are less than 1 week away from the 36th Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita, returning to the Great Race Place for a record 10th time. And so many of you are probably thinking, okay, come on, Baron, you can do better than that. 1 week away. All right, how's this? 6 days, 5 hours, 42 minutes until the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita. And, you know, in terms of a venue, look, Churchill Downs is great. Churchill can do it. They have the know-how to handle a big crowd. Obviously, they do the Oaks. They do the Derby. They do these big days. Churchill's a cool venue. But when you put it all together and you think about the weather that you typically get in Southern California at this time of year, which is usually gorgeous, you think about the setting right at the foothills of those majestic San Gabriel Mountains, and you just think about the size of the facility. Santa Anita just seems tailor-made for the Breeders' Cup. And trust me, living here locally in Central Kentucky, I'm looking forward to next year when it comes to Keeneland and we get to play a home game from a media perspective. But yeah, Santa Anita, a perfect, perfect venue. And it's easy to see why they've awarded Santa Anita the Breeders' Cup for a 10th time. I know there's been a lot of controversy, and yes, I think so many of us are going to be holding our breath, crossing our fingers every time the horses leave the starting gate. But I think you have to trust in the process. You have to trust in everything that's going on out there and all the work that's been done to improve the conditions, to improve the welfare and the safety of the horses. You just have to put your faith and your trust in that. Breeders' Cup did. Breeders' Cup said, we believe in you, Santa Anita. And that solidarity is refreshing. And you just hope that they're rewarded for that solidarity with a safe Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday. Well, pre-entries came out this past Wednesday, and so many of you I know are already poring over the past performances. I've been looking at all the pre-entries. The actual entries will be taken on Monday, and then the post position is being drawn on Tuesday. And if you've read through the Breeders' Cup press release, by the way, regarding the pre-entry information, you might be led to believe that the races are only going to be on television. That's the only way you can experience it. Of course, other than being at the racetrack. And yeah, the races will be on TV. Both days going to be televised by our friends at NBC. Some on NBCSN, others on NBC. But what you might not realize from reading that release, probably wouldn't, is that the Breeders' Cup races also are going to be heard on radio, nationwide and worldwide, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And I know that's welcome news for so many of you who were unable to be in front of a TV, won't be in front of a TV Friday and Saturday. And I know that there are hundreds of thousands of you, if not more, that won't be able to be in front of a TV. Well, we've got you covered here on HRN. And our coverage, more than 15 hours of on-site Breeders' Cup programming exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, begins on Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It's a two-hour Breeders' Cup countdown show presented by Red Brand Fence. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. Going to be hosted by Bobby Newman, the newest member of our HRN team, and the ultra-talented Megan Devine. They'll be live from fabled Clocker's Corner at Santa Anita, one of the great settings to watch morning training that you'll find anywhere in the country and in the world. Bobby and Megan will bring you those shows. You'll hear interviews with owners and trainers and jockeys and breeders and handicappers. They'll get you ready. They'll give you updated real-time reports on what's happening on the racetrack with all the Breeders' Cup horses as they make those preparations. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, 8 to 10 Pacific, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Three Breeders' Cup countdown shows. You can tune into those shows, by the way, for our SiriusXM listeners. Sirius 216 XM 202. Sirius 216 XM 202. And, of course, we'll have that for you on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And you can stream us worldwide on our website, on your computer, your phone, your tablet. You can do that at horseracingradio.net. You can always do that every time we're on the air. We come back on Friday and Saturday with all of our race coverage. You'll hear the Breeders' Cup races right here on HRN. And that coverage kicking off on Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern, on Saturday, 3 o'clock Eastern time. Sirius 219 XM 201, the same channel you're listening to now, will have the race coverage. But again, it's different for the Breeders' Cup countdown shows. And you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete schedule. It's all listed for you right there on our schedule page. So make sure you head over there and check that out. Make sure you join us all next week. It's going to be a fun week of programming, and we're going to get you ready for the Cup during the week, then bring you all the Breeders' Cup races. And by the way, that race coverage here on the network Friday and Saturday, presented by visitbarbados.org and Red Brand Fence. Now, among the highlights of this year's pre-entries, Irish-based trainer Aidan O'Brien, he pre-entered 17 horses. That's the most among trainers. The Coolmore partnerships led the way on the ownership side with 18 horses that were pre-entered. No surprise there. I'm going to talk to Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com and Twins Fires right around 9:20 Eastern this morning. He'll preview the Breeders' Cup races, share his thoughts on some of the races he's looking forward to most. And maybe, who knows, maybe we can get him to give you an early selection 1 week out from the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Bobby Newman, I mentioned him, hosting our Breeders' Cup countdown shows. Bobby is going to be with me after our first commercial break right around 8:15 Eastern time. He'll share his thoughts on this year's championship races. And this is also Beholder Week. We've been celebrating the three-time Breeders' Cup heroine and the great champion Beholder all week long on our programs as part of a new series that we've launched on the network, which is called Horse Weeks, and we've celebrated so many good ones. Wise Dan, Game On Dude, Silver Charm. And this week, it was all about the Queen, Beholder. I'm going to talk to Ned Toffee at 8:35 Eastern. Ned is with Spendthrift Farm. That is where Beholder is now. Of course, they were the owners of Beholder. They are the owners. And we'll talk to Ned. We'll fill you in on what Beholder's up to now, as she is she's very happy on the farm, being a mama. We'll talk to Ned coming up at 8:35. You're going to hear from Richard Mandela, the Hall of Fame trainer who had the privilege of training Beholder for her career. Richard caught up with Anthony Stabile on our Red Brand Radio show yesterday afternoon. That interview, some great stuff from Richard talking about Beholder, sharing some of his fondest memories. That interview is going to come up toward the end of the program at 9:40 Eastern time. You're also going to hear from another leading lady in our sport, and that's Caton Bradar, Caton with TVG. She's going to join me at 9 o'clock Eastern next week, next Wednesday, at the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Awards Dinner in California. Caton will be honored with the Jim McKay Award for Excellence in Broadcasting, and nobody more deserving of that award than Kayton Bradar. Can't wait to hear her story. She's going to share that with us 9 o'clock Eastern time. So you've got Bobby Newman, 8:15, Ned Toffee, 8:35, Kayton at 9 o'clock, Ed DeRosa, 9:20, and you'll hear from Richard Mandela at the end of the show, 9:40 Eastern time. Our poll question for this morning, how about this? I got thinking about the Breeders' Cup races, and I said, yeah, well, I could run a poll on who's going to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, who's going to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint, which, by the way, is loaded. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And I thought, we'll do it this way. Rather than giving you a multiple-choice type of answer, let's keep it open-ended. And I'm hoping that you'll do this with me. I'll try to read these throughout the program, but our poll question at HRN on Twitter, what is your favorite Breeders' Cup memory? Your favorite memory, Breeders' Cup memory, can be a bet that you cashed. It can be a moment that you shared with a family member, maybe going there with your parents, going there with your father, going there. It doesn't matter. Going there with your kids. It can be that type of moment, or it can be a moment that you witnessed on the racetrack. I know Zenyatta is probably going to be a popular answer here. The 10-year anniversary of her win over the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So what is your favorite Breeders' Cup memory? I want to hear from you. I'll try to read those as we move throughout the program here later this morning. You can do that at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Going to get to a break. Come back with Bobby Newman on the other side of this. Stay with me. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita, and with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, you want to be sure to be a part of it. Please visit BreedersCup.com and click on the Plan Your Visit icon, or call Santa Anita Park at 626-574-RACE and make your reservations now for the biggest 2 days in racing. On Friday, November 1st, admission gates will open at 8:30, and on Saturday, November 2nd, admission gates will open at 8 a.m. Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features three outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick four, comprised of races 1-4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader, Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Introducing the Spendthrift Farm, an unparalleled class of new stallions entering stud in 2020, headlined by four Breeders' Cup hopefuls, sprint contender Mattoli.
Mattoli wins the run, Happy Met Mile!
Dirt Mile contenders Omaha Beach and Colefront.
Omaha Beach, yes!
Colefront wins it for the U.S.
And classic contender Vino Rosso.
Vino Rosso, fantastico!
Best of luck to all the connections in this year's Breeders' Cup, Spendthrift. The Breeders' Farm.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They come in towards the quarter pole. Jalen Journey, American Anthem, Catalina Cruiser, Giant Expectations running a big one. And Giant Expectations comes widest of all but goes looking for the lead. Catalina Cruiser tries to go with him. Giant Expectations, Catalina Cruiser, they nose and nose through the stretch. Giant Expectations, the advantage. Catalina Cruiser's all heart coming right back at him. Giant Expectations, Catalina Cruiser. Look like Catalina Cruiser. A very, very good performance there. Giant Expectations stretched him every yard of the way. Then American Anthem and Jalen Journey.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. That was Trevor Denman with the call of the Pat O'Brien Stakes at Del Mar, and Catalina Cruiser getting the victory yet again, defending his title in that race. Really, really good racehorse, and he is part of a loaded Breeders' Cup sprint field, and that is going to be one of the highlights of the Breeders' Cup Saturday program. All the juvenile races being contested on Friday, and then we turn our attention to the older horses throughout the day on Saturday. And as I told you, we kick off our coverage Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, with the first of three Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by Red Brand. And they will be hosted by our very own Bobby Newman, who is with me now here on the show. Bobby, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How's it going, pal?
Things are good, pal. Looking forward to getting out to California. We'll fly out there tomorrow and get ready for the big show.
I'm looking forward to it, too. It's 95 degrees still here every day in Florida. So it'd be nice to get to some a little bit more normal weather and really just dive into what is, it's really Disney World, I guess, when it comes to horse racing, with these 2 days of the Breeders' Cup coming up next weekend, and a lot of fun and horses coming from everywhere. It's a handicapping, some people would call it a nightmare, some people would call it a puzzle. Whatever it is, there are a lot of opportunities, and every year seems to not disappoint. There's always a few tremendous performances that we're going to see. There are horses that go on to be superstars in the sport, and I don't think this year is going to disappoint either. There are a lot of stories in seemingly every race.
Yeah, there certainly are. You're a pretty accomplished handicapper, Bobby. When you sit down to start looking at the Breeders' Cup, what's your approach to, number one, handicapping it, and number two, trying to bet these races?
Well, I've already started looking at a lot of the replays of some of these horses, and boy, it sure is different these days than when we first started dealing with the Breeders' Cup back in 1984. You know, now pretty much every race is on TV or on the internet, where back then, you know, to get a replay of any sort of stake race from somewhere other than your home track, you know, you'd watch down the stretch on ESPN once a week, or maybe you would get something played over the loudspeaker at the racetrack you're at. But now, you know, you can be sitting at home, you could be at a racetrack, and you're watching races from Aqueduct and Santa Anita and Churchill Downs and Fawner Park, if you want, and Emerald Downs, and not only just that, Australia and France and England. And if you don't get to watch them live, you can pull them up replays anytime you want on any sort of app or website that you have. So it's really tremendous being able to go and start do your homework well in advance. And right now with the pre-entries out, even though we don't know the post positions, you can start working on, you pretty much know who's going to be in each race. You can start looking at how the pace is going to play out, you know, which jockeys are choosing which horses over other ones, start looking at some of the replays of their recent races to see if there's any trouble lines, if maybe they had it going well for them that day. Maybe they were a closer that had a perfect setup that day and they're not going to have a perfect setup next Friday or Saturday or vice versa. So there's a lot of handicapping that can be done already, even though they haven't actually drawn the races for either day yet.
You know, you mentioned the changes that we've seen in handicapping the Breeders' Cup because of technology. There have been some significant changes in terms of the Breeders' Cup itself since it was first run at Santa Anita in 1986. Go back to that first one at the Great Race Place. There were seven championship races. Today, Well, modern day, we have 14. We've doubled that number now.
That is true. And for that 1986 Breeders' Cup, I didn't have tickets, but wanted to go. I was in college at the time. I drove down the night before, attempted to sleep in my car in the Santa Anita parking lot so I would be able to get in first and get an early spot. Unfortunately, the security at Santa Anita was pretty good back then. They were not real thrilled with me sleeping in my car that night, so I had to move to the nearby shopping mall parking lot and try to sleep in my car there, but was able to get in 1986 and see a lot of great performances. Lady Secret comes to mind. Of course, Skywalker upsetting in the Breeders' Cup Classic that year. Manila upsetting both Dancing Brave and Estrapod in the Breeders' Cup turf. And the excitement I had back then, willingness to uncomfortably sleep in my car the night before, has not waned. We get 2 days instead of 1 day of Breeders' Cup now, and a lot more divisions. That was probably the biggest complaint, if there was one, back in the 80s, is that there weren't spots for all the runners. For instance, for two-year-olds, you had two choices. The males ran a mile and a 16th on the dirt, or the females ran a mile and a 16th on the dirt. There were never turf races for the two-year-olds. There was never a sprint race for the two-year-olds. There wasn't a dirt mile back then. There wasn't a filly and mare turf, so if the fillies and mares wanted to run on the grass, they always had to run against the boys, either going a mile or a mile and a half. And now, with all the different races and the addition of the turf races, seeing a lot more horses from abroad come over here. It is, you mentioned that Aidan O'Brien had 17 pre-entrants, Coolmore had 18. That's something you would not have seen back in the 80s, maybe one or two, because there were only two turf races scheduled. Now it's just a plethora of horses from Europe. And the great thing is we can go back and watch the replays of most of those races as well. So it's not, even though they're foreigners, they're not foreign to us handicapping-wise, if you're able to do your homework before the races.
Visiting with our very own Bobby Newman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can hear him Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings live from Santa Anita with our three Breeders' Cup countdown shows. He'll also be part of our broadcast team Friday and Saturday for all of the races coming up here on the network. Let's talk about this year's Breeders' Cup, Bobby. What are some of the highlights or the moments that you're looking forward to most that stood out to you?
Well, starting with Friday, this is the first year that they've had Friday dedicated to the two-year-olds, and it kind of makes me wonder why they hadn't thought of this earlier. I think it's a good idea, and I think this year's juvenile races are as interesting, if not more, than others, especially the two, I like to call them the classic juvenile races, the juvenile and the juvenile fillies at a mile and a 16th on the dirt at Santa Anita. Starting with the juvenile fillies, boy, there are some very, very talented fillies. There's not one that sticks out above the other. There are several in here that are either undefeated or nearly undefeated. You've got Bass for trainer Bob Baffert, who will probably be the favorite simply because she's a multiple grade one winner out in Southern California. But British Idiom, the winner of the Alcibiades, was phenomenal in that win. Donna Veloce for Simon Callahan only has broken her maiden, but she did it so impressively that I would think that she's got a bright future. 260 for trainer Mark Cassie, won one of the Sire Stakes at Gulfstream. And then Wicked Whisper, the winner of the Frisette, she's undefeated. And I don't think anyone's ever been close to her. She's been in front at every step. So a real puzzle there, and I think we've got some superstar fillies in the making. And then on the boys' side, boy, it's going to be fun to see how good some of these horses are. Dennis's Moment is a horse who, you know, he's been in the Midwest racing at Churchill Downs and Ellis Park. And for the handicappers that are used to betting on Southern California or New York or Florida, he may be a little bit of a question mark. And he's done absolutely, well, almost everything right other than dropping the rider in his very first start. But yeah. Since then, he's looked like an absolute superstar. If he's going to end up being favored in the race, you've got Eight Rings, who's another one that, similar to Dennis's Moment, with the exception of one race where He unseated his rider. He's been flawless out in Southern California. And Maxfield, this is a horse who's 2 for 2 that had an Arazi-like move in his last win at Keeneland. And it just looks like a lot of fun on Friday and several different ways to go. And, of course, those aren't the only three horses or the only five fillies in those races. There's so much talent. It runs so deep. And it's one of those things where I don't think you're going to have to take a short price, even if you like one of those favorites.
Yeah, it's one of those years, Bobby, that it seems like some of these other races will overshadow the Breeders' Cup Classic because we don't have that, you know, the Arrowgate or the Mucho Macho Man, the California Chrome. We don't have that big name in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. There's no Cigar, right? So I guess like a race like the Distaff, for example, might take center stage on Saturday because you have Midnight Bisou and she's undefeated this year. And a lot of people thinking that if she wins that race, she's a legitimate Horse of the Year contender. And I personally agree.
I agree as well. And I think there are several on the Saturday card that fit exactly what you just said. You mentioned Midnight Bisou, undefeated this year. She's really almost never run a bad race in her life. And she's back to what used to be her home base on Santa Anita. And I don't see any reason that if she wins, she shouldn't be in the running for Horse of the Year. Of course, Bricks and Mortar, there's going to be several people who think that he is the leading contender. And I'm not going to argue with that. It's very interesting with Bricks and Mortar for trainer Chad Brown that they didn't decide until maybe just a few days ago which Breeders' Cup race he was actually going to run. And this is a horse who's been running a mile and an eighth, a mile and a quarter on the turf. Well, those are two distances the boys don't have choices of in the Breeders' Cup. So it's either going a mile or a mile and a half. Now, it looks like he's going to go the mile and a half. I think they made the right decision. I think if he wins, he will probably be Horse of the Year. But I don't think it's a slam dunk. What about something like this? What if Midnight Bisou somehow gets beaten the Distaff and Bricks and Mortar gets beaten the Breeders' Cup Turf, but Mattoli wins the Breeders' Cup Sprint? Does he have a claim to being the Horse of the Year? I mean, he's done almost everything right. The only race that he didn't win this year was a race where he had a little bit of trouble coming out of the gate. I believe that the comment was that he brushed the gate. He certainly didn't show his normal vigor in the early part, and he didn't have much left at the end. But other than that, he's been great anywhere from sprinting to shorter, like middle distance races. And if those other two don't stay undefeated and he wins the sprint, which most people think is the most loaded race in this year's Breeders' Cup, I would think he has a legitimate claim.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. And I know the Big A has the similar take. Of course, Anthony Stabile, who hosts our Red Brand radio programs during the week, he has a similar take. He thinks that Mattoli can be among the finalists if those scenarios were to play out. I don't know if I see that. I don't know if, as somebody who has a vote for the Eclipse Awards and for the championship honors and Horse of the Year, I don't know if I could see myself going with Mattoli because of the fact that he hasn't gone past a mile this year. And I think you have to look at those horses who have. But then you look at Midnight Bisou, she hasn't run against the boys. You look at Bricks and Mortar, he hasn't run on the dirt. So they all kind of have those question marks that people are going to have to siphon through as they get, you know, voters are going to have to siphon through when they start looking at these end of the year awards, especially that Horse of the Year.
Right, and you speak of Anthony Stabile. I was listening to the program yesterday.
I'm sorry.
No. He's phenomenal, and he had a great take on the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint about East Coast horses, New York-based horses that did not get in to the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, like Shecky Shabazz. I think would have every bit as much a chance to win that race as the ones who did get in. Now, I'm not going to be nearly as vocal about it as Anthony is because he almost seems completely distraught by what has happened. But that's how deep I think the races are this year. And that Breeders' Cup Sprint, getting back to that, what a phenomenal race that is. I mean, with just naming horses, four horses like Mattoli, Catalina Cruiser, Imperial Hint, and then Chancelot, who a month and a half ago, people were anointing the greatest sprinter of all time. and now will probably be the fourth choice in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and he's done almost nothing wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be a great 2 days of racing. Of course, as I mentioned, you'll be part of our team throughout the week. You'll be a big part of it. You're hosting those countdown shows kicking off on Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 2 hours, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. And you'll be joined by the ultra-talented Megan Devine. And Bobby, can't wait to get out there and get things started, my friend.
I can't wait either. Now, I have a little issue with the fact that you've mentioned how talented Megan is. Both times you've mentioned her. Never at any point say anything like that about me. Well, I have a little bit of an inferiority complex going in, but hopefully those things will shake out next week.
Now, Bobby. We'll have some fun, brother. Looking forward to seeing you out there.
All right, Mike. Have a great day.
All right. Safe travels tomorrow. That's Bobby Newman here on HRN. And like all of our guests, yeah, Bobby's going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, all kinds of storylines that we'll dive into. And that Horse of the Year storyline is really something that is going to be a hot-button topic. It's evolving even as we speak, and looking forward to diving into those topics throughout the week. Ned Toffey is going to join me on the other side of this commercial break. Ned with Spendthrift Farm. This is Beholder Week on the network. We'll talk to Ned about the great champion and what she's up to now. We're back right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington.
When experts gather to discuss the greatest American racehorse of all time, the list includes three that invariably rise to the top of the conversation: Man of War, Citation, and Secretariat. The relative merits of these three superstars may well be undeterminable in actual fact, but Citation's three-year-old campaign was perhaps the singularly greatest individual year ever enjoyed by a racing thoroughbred. Citation's two-year-old record was 8 wins in 9 starts, the only blemish on an otherwise perfect slate. A defeat at the hands of his Calumet stable mate Bewitch when that outstanding filly defeated him in the Washington Park Futurity. Citation was named the two-year-old of the year and ranked alongside Bewitch at the top of the experimental free handicap. At the end of his three-year-old campaign, Citation's weight evaluation was 15 pounds greater than that of his nearest rival. Most three-year-olds campaigning exclusively against their own age group until the second half of the year. Not so Citation. He opened his sophomore season on the track with 2 wins against older horses. He followed that success with 2 wins against his peers before suffering a defeat in a 6-furlong prep race at Havre de Grace in Maryland. That race was to Saggy, sire of the 1968 Kentucky Derby winner, Carryback. After that, Citation racked up 15 consecutive victories. Included in that skein were an easy sweep of the Triple Crown races, so easy that it was almost anticlimactic. In the 1948 Derby, Citation was such a prohibitive favorite that Colonel Matt Wynn eliminated place in show wagering in that event. Citation won the Derby by 3.5, the Preakness by 5.5, and the Belmont by 8 open lengths. After totally demolishing and completely demoralizing all the three-year-olds, he went on to become against older horses and won the Stars and Stripes at Washington Park in track record time. Later in the fall, he proved his stamina by sailing home to a 7-length win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup over a distance of 2 miles at Belmont Park. By the end of October, there was not a single horse willing to challenge him in the winner-take-all Pimlico Invitational. That outing turned out to be nothing more than an exhibition for public benefit, a walkover in racing parlance. By the end of 1948, Citation had won 19 of 21 races at 9 different tracks at distances from 6 furlongs to 2 miles. He had been ridden by 3 different jockeys and had won or on tracks listed as fast, good, muddy, heavy, and sloppy. He was not only three-year-old colt of the year, but also horse of the year, and on top of that, handicap horse of the year. Unfortunately, the rest of Citation's story is dotted with cases of injury and frustration. He was off the racetrack for an entire year because of various ailments. He came back to race at the age of 5 when he won an allowance race in January at Santa Anita. In his next 8 starts, he finished 2nd 7 times with only 1 win. Incredibly, in 6 straight races, he was defeated in track record time. 5 of those losses were in world record time. Plus, he was invariably giving way to the opposition, which makes that record doubly significant. Citation was nearly $100,000 short of becoming race's very first millionaire at the age of six, so after a 10-month layoff, he did come back. He began that campaign slowly but finally scored in the Argonaut Handicap and then chalked up a second tough win in the American Handicap. Then on July 14, 1951, in his last race, he nailed down the $100,000 first prize in the Hollywood Gold Cup to attain the coveted million-dollar earnings mark his owners had doggedly pursued for 3 years. In 45 career starts, Citation had 32 wins and was in the money 44 times. But that three-year-old campaign goes unmatched to this very day. Neither Man O' War nor Secretariat campaigned at the age of Citation's later efforts, so we will never know. But Citation was indeed one of the very best horses that I personally have ever seen.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are you'll have a fabulous time. Live racing Friday through Sunday, post time 1:10 p.m.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Beholder Week on HRRN. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Songbird and Beholder, and they're into the stretch. And here we go. Songbird set down. Beholder is alongside. Forever Unbridled is 2.5 lengths behind them. Furlong to run. Songbird, Beholder, they are nose to nose. This race living up to its expected power as they come to the wire. They're nose to the park. Beholder! I think she got her head down.
1 minute 49.20 seconds. I believe Beholder did it.
Well, when the race is that thrilling that it makes Larry Colmus's voice crack, you know it's a good finish, and it really was. The Great Beholder, boy, was she spectacular. A three-time Breeders' Cup champion. She was a four-time Eclipse Award champion. Think about that. Champion two-year-old filly in 2012, champion three-year-old filly in 2013, champion older mare in both 2015 and 2016. She was something special. 18 wins from 26 starts, more than $6 million in earnings, and she is now enjoying life on the farm at Spendthrift. Spendthrift, of course, her owner. She raced in the orange and purple colors of Spendthrift Farm, and she's enjoying life there being a mama right now. And to fill us in on what's happening with Beholder, we welcome in Ned Toffee from Spendthrift. Ned, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I threw out a poll question, and people are coming, the response is coming in fast and furious at HRN on our Twitter feed. I asked people to share their favorite Breeders' Cup memory, and I know that that call right there, that race, is going to be an answer that we're going to get because Beholder provided so many memorable moments. But the answers have ranged from, you know, Kip DeVille winning the Breeders' Cup mile, turf mile, to personal ensign in the distaff, Alphabet Soup in the Classic, another one, Tis Now winning it for America, Zenyatta, of course. How about for you? That moment right there, that call that we just heard, that has to be one of your top moments, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's tough to beat that. A stretch run like that, you don't get very many of those, and to be a part of it, obviously, is just the cherry on top. But it was exciting. I think every one of us had pretty well lost control and just, just going crazy down the stretch. She just, it was a remarkable race. And, Songbird is a, champion in her own right. And to knock that one off. The thing that still amazed me listening to the call there was Larry Colmus, how confidently he called Beholder, because I was not confident at all. But, that was just as good as it gets in racing.
Yeah, she so good. We're going to hear from trainer Richard Mandela later in the program. He visited with the Big A yesterday on our Red Brand radio show and shared his thoughts and some of his favorite memories of Beholder. And you can tell when he talks about her, his voice kind of goes to a different level. She meant that much to him, and I'm sure she meant that much to you and to the team at Spendthrift as well.
Absolutely. I mean, she's a once in a lifetime type of a horse. All of us that do this, you hope that you at some point get the chance to be associated with a horse like that. And so it's just been a magical ride all the way from all of us being involved in picking her out at the yearling sale at Keeneland in September. She was bought for $180,000 and just right on through the process. And I've this year, in anticipation of this Breeders' Cup, I keep thinking back to her 2-year-old year when we were actually debating quite a bit whether she should run in the Breeders' Cup juvenile fillies, or that year it was either first or second year that they had the Breeders' Cup juvenile sprint. And we were thinking that might actually be more suited to her, because as a 2-year-old, we thought she maybe was a little bit more of a speed horse. And we eventually decided that maybe Richard was the guy to make that call. and he made the right call, and the rest is history. And, of course, she went on to prove how good she was at just about any distance. And I think she could have been a champion sprinter if she wanted. And, of course, ran in the Pacific Classic a sub 2-minute mile and a quarter, which doesn't happen an awful lot. So really, from one end to the other, she's as good as they get.
Yeah, her Pacific Classic was breathtaking. I'd say one of her signature performances, and there were so many, but that was certainly one of them. What is Beholder up to now, Ned?
Well, first of all, I want to add one accolade. You listed her resume at the top of the intro, and I'll add one for your listeners. She is the only period in the history of, racing anywhere in the world to win a grade one at age 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We've looked and we can't find that any other horse anywhere in the world has ever done that. And so, you know, just one more as if for resume needed embellishing. There's one more.
That's a big one. So, that's a big one. Wow. That's spectacular. I didn't realize that. That is spectacular.
Yeah. So, today she's living the life of a broodmare. She gets well spoiled and pampered. That's a tradition that Richard started at Santa Anita. I remember when she first arrived here, we were a little surprised at just how spoiled she was, but rightly so. she loves her carrots and her peppermints and she's used to visitors, and she gets lots of visitors out here today. But she's gotten off to a great start as a broodmare for us. She's got a yearling by Uncle Mo, who's just gone into breaking. He was one of the biggest yearlings on the farm this year, so we're really excited about him. She has got a weanling filly by Curlin this year, and that's another really impressive foal. And again, obviously, that's one that we look forward to one day being part of the broodmare band here, hopefully after a nice racing career. And then she's back in foal to Warfront. So that's the resume so far in her broodmare career, but carrying a filly, so we're expecting a filly early next spring. She's been a great mare to be around. She's done everything right for us so far. She's a real champ. I think that she's probably decided that her running days are through. When you turn her out, many of the visitors come, get to watch her get turned out. And I think they expect to see her run off, and she turns and walks very slowly out to the water, takes a drink, and then wanders off to whatever patch of grass she wants to graze on for the day. So she lives a very leisurely lifestyle these days.
I'm talking with Ned Toffee, the general manager at Spendthrift Farm. The team at Spendthrift does a phenomenal job, and it's not only about the horses that they've had in the past and that are now there, like Beholder, for example. But, Ned, you're going to be busy. You're going to be welcoming a quartet of new stallions that we'll see in the Breeders' Cup this year. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we're really excited about those. We've actually got five new stallions coming, and you're right, four in Breeders' Cup races. Really excited about those guys. We've got Cole Front, who's a son of Stay Thirsty, has got a good shot in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, five-time graded stakes winner, won the Godolphin Mile, the Amsterdam, the Gallant Bob. This is a horse that we can't wait to get here on the farm and show to breeders, because this is just as good-looking a horse as you're going to find. So a really hard-knocking, versatile racehorse. Ran a 107 as a three-year-old at a time form rating of 121, $1.8 million in earnings to date. So, but again, the physical is probably, with all of that, the physical is probably the most impressive thing about him. So we're excited for breeders to see him. Before you went to break, you were discussing Mattoli.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll rethink your vote on Horse of the Year. this has just been an incredible horse. One of the most remarkable statements about this horse, Bill Heilig wrote that owns him, has owned over 1,000 winners in his illustrious career as an owner, and he has told us this is hands down the fastest horse that he's ever owned. Son of Escandarea out of an Indian Charlie mare.
Yeah.
Beautifully made horse. Looks like a sprinter and certainly runs like a sprinter. But three grade ones this year. you know, as your last guest referenced, brushed the gate coming out of at the start at Saratoga in his only loss this year, and then came back and was ultra impressive in the forego to make up for that loss. So just a really impressive, really fast horse, as talented as they get, and as consistent as they get. This horse just runs his race just about every time, and of course showed his versatility stretching out and winning the Met Mile, which is really has to be considered the single most important sire's race that we have in America. And so for him to stretch from 6 and 7 furlongs out to a mile and beat one of the best fields assembled this year was just as impressive a race as I think as we've seen all year. So Mattoli is one we're really, really excited about.
Yeah, and you should be. And then Omaha Beach and Vino Rosso being the other two. And we've got, Ned, just about a minute and a half before I have to get to that next break. So I'll let you touch on those two here, too.
Yeah, Vino Rosso, you know, had a little bit of bad luck getting taken down in his last start in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but ran a winning race in there earlier in the year. Won the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, won the Wood Memorial early in his 3-year-old year. So Son of Curlin, classically bred horse, great source of stamina, just a really exciting horse. We've been looking for a Son of Curlin to bring to stud, and we think we found a really good one. And of course, Omaha Beach. I mean, he sort of needs no introduction. But you know, Son of Warfront, second dam is Take Charge Lady. He's out of a Seeking the Gold Mare. This horse just has as complete a resume as you could ask for. And then I think his feat this year to win the Grade One Arkansas Derby at 9 furlongs. The little throat problem sidelined him for longer than we would have liked this year, but to come back and beat a really, really good sprinter in Chancelot in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship at Grade One, to get a Grade One at 6 furlongs and 9 furlongs in the same year is just ultra impressive. And I think if Richard had a little more time with him, he'd have had no problem running in the Classic. But on this abbreviated schedule, you know, I know he was looking very hard at the sprint or the dirt mile, and we're thrilled for him to be going in the dirt mile. And again, a great, you know, breeders love to see that miler speed. And we couldn't be more excited about this horse. He's been as popular and well-received a horse as we've brought to stud in years. And he's the complete package.
Yeah. Let's see a dead heat between Colefront and Omaha Beach in the dirt mile. I know the folks at Spendthrift would be happy with that. Ned Toffee, the general manager, with me here on HRN. Ned, listen, appreciate the visit and safe trip out to California. I'll see you at Santa Anita. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. I'll get that to you and look forward to seeing you here soon.
Mike, good to talk to you, and we will see you next week.
All right, go post 68.
Right.
Nobody's going to know what that means. Ned and I both played in the same summer league in Western Massachusetts. Of course, Ned, a few years before me, well, many years before me. He's a bit older. We played on the same, against each other, I guess it would be. The teams played against each other, so that's where that comes from. Going to get to one final commercial break in the first half of the program, but when I come back, it's your Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales. We'll touch on the Philly and Mare turf and then get you set for the second half of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Tappert has taken the lead. Tappert and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Relentless Dancer starting to pour it on in the stretch at the 16th pole. Relentless Dancer living up to his name. It's Relentless Dancer with a dazzling performance to win the Louisiana Legacy.
Relentless Dancer, the two-year-old son of Darley Stallion Midshipman, followed up his 10-length Churchill Downs maiden win with another 10-length victory in the Louisiana Legacy Stakes at Delta Downs. That was on October 19th. He earned, how about this, an 82 buyer, and that makes Relentless Dancer your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. Relentless Dancer became Midshipman's eighth juvenile stakes horse in 2019. Only Into Mischief and American Pharaoh have more. Learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They swing the corner. Regal Reality, Magical is well poised there in second place. Foxtel, Adayev, then Deirdre's off the inside now. Coronet, he says go on Magical on the outside of Regal Reality. Foxtel gets up the rail. Magical strikes the front from Foxtel. Here's Adayev putting in a sterling run out wide. Deirdre's got plenty to find. Magical from Adayev inside the final furlong. Magical by three-quarters of a length to Adayev, who's trying hard. Then Foxtel, but Magical is tough as they come, and Magical is going to cling on and win the Champions Stakes and a second win on Champions Day. Adayev in second, tight for third between Foxtel and Deirdre.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. How good is Magical? Last year couldn't get by Enable in the Breeders' Cup turf, but ran her eyeballs out. She's hoping to go back to the Breeders' Cup turf and face the boys again this year. That win in the Champion Stakes at Ascot on October 19th. Remember, she ran October 6th in the Arc de Triomphe. She was fifth behind Waldgeist, Enable, Sotsass, but Magical, really good. And I bring her up because she is one of the super talented female runners that we'll see at this year's Breeders' Cup, and it leads us into our Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
Let's spend just a minute talking about the Filly and Mare turf, because it's a race that we haven't really focused on yet. And Magical is cross-entered into that race, but her first preference is to make another trip to the Breeders' Cup turf and try to get the victory in that race this year. So with that being said, let's say Magical is not in there. Iridessa, who is another talented European runner, the Irish-bred, also cross-entered into
the Breeders' Cup turf, and that is her first preference. So assuming that both of those get into the Breeders' Cup turf, it leaves us with a couple of interesting American runners in there, including the defending champion, Sister Charlie. And I think that she has to be considered the horse to beat in the Filly and Mare turf, especially with Magical and Iridesa pointing toward the Breeders' Cup turf. Sister Charlie comes in on a 6-race winning streak. She's 10 for 14 lifetime. Comes out of that big win in the Flower Bowl. Never raced at Santa Anita. That'll be an interesting challenge for Sister Charlie, but she seems to run on just about any surface. It really doesn't matter. I'll give you an interesting horse. We talk about horse-for-course angles quite a bit and a home field advantage, especially for the horses in California when the Breeders' Cup comes out there. Vasilica, for trainer Dan Ward, 11 for 12 on the turf at Santa Anita. When she got beat, she was second. In 12 starts, she has never finished worse than second on the turf at Santa Anita. And she's raced against some good competition out there. Keep Vasilica in mind if you're looking for a long shot in that Filly and Mare turf. And keep Paramount Sales in mind if you're looking to consign any of your top horses, whether it's yearlings or older fillies and mares, because Pat Costolo and his team do a phenomenal job. And I'm going to get you set for the second half of the program right after this word from Paramount.
Paramount Sales has long been a perennial leading consigner in North America. Since their inception in 2001, Paramount has sold many sale toppers and has been at or near the top of every sale in which they've consigned horses by average. Recent Greatest Stakes winning graduates include Gormley.
Gormley takes the lead.
Instagram.
Instagram could not have been more impressive.
Bulletin.
Bulletin is a Breeders' Cup winner.
And Bourbon Resolution.
Bourbon Resolution is long gone.
Learn more at ParamountSales.net.
All right, second half of the show begins momentarily. It kicks off with Caton Bradar, who is going to be our industry star of the week. That segment presented by Stuart Morris. Can't wait to hear her story as she gets set to receive the Jim McKay Award for Excellence in Broadcasting. That will be next week in California. Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and from Twin Spires will be with me at 9:20 Eastern Time, and you'll hear from Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela at the end of the program, looking back on Beholder and looking ahead to the talented Omaha Beach in this year's Breeders' Cup. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the final furlong. Code of Honor, Mucho Gusto, and Tacitus. Code of Honor has taken the lead, and Code of Honor and John Velasquez have won the run, Happy Travers.
Bowie's Hero from the outside. Diamond Oops, Bowie's Hero, next shares to the inside. Bowie's Hero wins the Shadwell Turf Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
McKenzie is all out, but today belongs to Mongolian Grove. It's Mongolian Grove, wire to wire in the Oscar again under Abel Cedillo. McKenzie settles for second.
And Firenze Fire has taken the lead. Imperial Hint will try to battle back on the inside. Can he do it? Firenze Fire, Imperial Hint's coming back. These two coming down to the line. Very close. Did Imperial Hint come back? Oh, he's got so much heart.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back, Baron of the Backstretch. Mike Penna with you on this Saturday morning. Getting set for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, as you may have heard in the first half of the program. Our coverage from Santa Anita begins on Tuesday, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can tune into the Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by Red Brand Fence. Bobby Newman, Megan Devine, live from Clocker's Corner. We'll have that for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you can tune in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and tune in on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Sirius 216 XM 202, your home for the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup countdown shows. Of course, then we head over to Sirius 219 XM 201 for the race coverage on Friday and Saturday. Efforting Caton Bradar, who will be our industry star of the week. And Lee, I'm going to apologize. I actually gave you the incorrect number for Caton, so I just sent you her correct number. So we'll get Caton on with us here in just a moment. And this industry star of the week, as always, presented by our friend Stuart Morris. And look, if you're looking for a consigner that can sell your horse for you and do it the right way, if you're looking for somebody to buy a horse from, Stuart Morris is your guy. He offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. Wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. His success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. And again, Caton will join us shortly. Poll question this morning, and the results coming in fast and furious on our Twitter feed, at HRRN. You can also weigh in Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. Getting a lot of replies to this question here this morning. What is your favorite Breeders' Cup moment? Your favorite Breeders' Cup moment. Maybe it's a ticket that you cash. Maybe it's seeing a horse that you fell in love with win a Breeders' Cup race. Getting a here's a vote from Morning Line. English Channel crushing the field in the 2007 Turf. Ellie Sheba in the 1988 Classic in the Twilight. Who can forget that one? Tisnow, Zenyatta, all of those popular choices in this poll question. Tapazar winning the Breeders' Cup Mile. Ms. Direction winning the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Yeah, so many. We even got a vote for Ouija Board. Remember Ouija Board? She gets overlooked. She gets forgotten. She was so, so brilliant. So share your thoughts with us at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Want to hear from you, HRN Nation. What is your favorite Breeders' Cup memory? Well, Caton Bradar is with us now. Caton getting set to head to California this week. She'll be out there to received the Jim McKay Award for Excellence in Broadcasting, which she'll receive at the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Awards Dinner on Wednesday night. And you talk about Jim McKay, a legend when it comes to broadcasting in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And nobody more deserving than Caton Bradar to have her name associated with the late, great Jim McKay. And she is with me now here on HRN. Caton, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I hope this connection is okay. It's been rainy, and I'm driving to Keeneland, so.
It's actually great, and I apologize for getting to you a few minutes late. I messed up your phone number on our format, so had to correct that. But we are here now, and looking forward to visiting with you and hearing your story. I mentioned the Jim McKay Award, and you have been honored so many times throughout your career, and rightfully so. But when you got word that you were going to receive this particular award, what was that like?
You know, it was real shock, truly, because this isn't one that I necessarily ever thought I would receive, and I can't tell you how much it means, especially given the fact that Jim McKay was someone that, not just an icon in the sport, but someone that I had opportunity to work with when I was first getting into the broadcasting of horse racing. And one of my first jobs was working as a runner and a researcher for ABC Sports. And so I knew Jim, and he was just a wonderful person, the consummate professional, the true sportsman, but also just a wonderful person, and who was very kind and very helpful and generous and so professional. So to receive that award made it extra special. And I wasn't expecting it, and especially the competition was stiff. I mean, I thought everybody was very deserving, and I had kind of thought, even as a finalist, I was just happy to be considered amongst the finalists. In this case, it was Steve Vick and Chris Lincoln, and I really never dreamed that I would have gotten it, so it was a wonderful surprise.
Yeah, there was no wrong answer in that category, but trust me, Caton, you are as deserving as anybody to be receiving this award. You put in a ton of hard work, and people, you know, may not realize what goes into all the things behind the scenes. They see you on TVG, they see you on air, and they think, oh, wow, she just knows everything about horse racing. But, Caton, you spend an awful lot of time prepping for these appearances when you make your way to the TVG set.
Well, you do, and it is, and thank you for saying it, because I think all of us who work in this realize that so much more goes into it before you either pick up the microphone or step in front of the camera. At least I think if you want to do a good job, besides just the handicapping part of it, you kind of want to cover the bases and try to be able to give people something that they wouldn't be able to find out anywhere else or any way else. And so it does take a lot of time, and it also takes the cooperation of a lot of other people. And I've been really, really fortunate along the way. I mean, from the very beginning, to have some of the best teams of people to work with. I'm very biased, but I do think that horse racing has attracted the very best people in all categories, but especially in journalism and broadcasting. And regardless of the network I was working for, but especially now with TVG, I feel like, you know, you're surrounded by people who are as passionate as you are and as willing to put in the extra hours and go the extra miles to try to do a good job. And that has been really, you know, it's truly a labor of love. And I know you feel the same way, but it is a lot of time in between. And especially now when we're traveling, you've got the travel time to incorporate, but it's a good thing because at least you get to spend time handicapping and researching while you're traveling. And that especially airplanes, any delays in airports give you that much more time to try to cram in some knowledge and try to research and handicap.
Yeah, no, you're not kidding about that. Delays and those long flights, like out to California, are definitely our friend. It gives you a whole another half a work day if you want to look at it like that. Caton Bradar with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can catch her on TVG, and you can see her accept that Jim McKay Award for Excellence in Broadcasting next week in California. Caton, let's go back to the beginning for just a minute here. You have always had this love of horses. Take me back there. Where did it begin for you?
So my grandpa was a Hall of Fame jockey. My mom's father was Ted Atkinson, and my mom married, who at the time, Ray Metzler, my dad, and my dad was a high school math teacher and shop teacher at the time, but he, on the side, trained a few horses and was relatively self-taught. This is in the Chicago area in the Midwest, and in the 60s, he always had a couple horses, and he just loved it, and eventually he left everything else to become farm manager of Rogers Red Top Farm, which was, at the time, the largest breeding and racing operation in Illinois. And Walter Milady owned the farm. They had a great deal of success, and my dad was farm manager there. So I spent my earliest years around horses and kind of never looked back. And at no point did I ever know I'd be doing what I'm doing now, but I always knew I would probably do something that involved horses and racing. And that I got the bug very, very early. But we always say it wasn't necessarily in the bloodlines alone, because my sister has exactly the same pedigree and she has the same upbringing, and she's a high school math teacher, so she went the other direction. But she also loves horse racing, but it doesn't make it her profession. But I was very fortunate because I was surrounded by people who were in it and passionate about it and chose it. And I grew up around horsemen, and I grew up around the racetrack and the backstretch. And eventually my dad bought a horse van company, and I think that in some small way was one of the biggest turning points for me, because I traveled with him whenever I could. Even real young, at that time the semis had a sleeper in the back, and I never drove the van, but I used to get to make trips with my dad. He took horses to Detroit, or he took horses to Ohio, or he took, you know, Kentucky, and so I got to see racetracks and meet people all over the Midwest, and we would spend every winter in Florida, a little bit of time in New Orleans and Hot Springs. So I was exposed to all those tracks even before we had simulcasting or the opportunity to really get to see horsemen in other places. And I think that kind of set me up for what I do now.
You know, when I have trainers on our Trainer Talk program every Wednesday night, there's a question that I'll tend to throw out there from time to time, and I love to ask them this particular question because the answers are so widespread, and everybody has a different take on it. But, Caton, when you think back on everything that you have done in this sport, where you started, where you are today, what is the one thing or the couple of things maybe that you're most proud of?
I've been asked. It's a great question, and I'm asked it from time to time, and it's very hard to put your finger on one event or one single thing. But I think that when I look at it, what I'm proud of is the fact that I believe horsemen trust me and are willing to give me, you know, whatever they can as far as their opinions, their time. And they even ask me sometimes my opinion of their horse. You know, when I've had some really top trainers or owners come up to me and say, what do you think of my horse? Or that to me, that's probably the thing that I'm proudest of. And then the other thing that I'm really proud of is, and I don't take credit for this, but I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of key people who are real rising stars in this game, I think, that when they were young and when they first came on board. But, I was on this broadcast with Donna Barton Brothers when she made her network debut. Scott Hazelton came and worked with me when he was going to college. And Gabby Gaudette, I worked with, beside at a very early stage in her career. Alyssa Ali. I hope and I feel proud to have been a very small part in what they have become and what they do. And that, I truly feel like that's what it's all about, is to try to pass along your experiences and hope that you can help somebody else down the line.
Yeah, very well said. She is Caton Bradar here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Caton, one last question before I let you go. I've got about a minute before I have to get to this next commercial break, but we've been asking listeners to share their favorite Breeders' Cup memories, and I know you've been around so many here over the years. Do you have a moment or two that sticks out to you?
Well, all of ours, not just broadcasting, but when it's been experiencing them. But, you know, when I wasn't on the air, a group of us from Chicago who were working at Arlington Park, was very early years, followed Black Tie Affair to Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup. We all went. We stayed in Indiana. We got up that morning. My husband, Doug, said, this is like Christmas. It's better than Christmas. It's Breeders' Cup Day. And we went and were in the stands and watched Black Tie Affair, the Chicago hero, win, and hung out with Ernie Polis. And that was probably one of my favorite Breeders' Cups. And, of course, Gunrunner and Monomoy Girl are two that I was on the air when Gunrunner won at Del Mar. And I've never been as nervous or as excited or as had as much difficulty trying to focus on the broadcast because of what I was seeing him do. He was an amazing horse, and so that's probably one of my favorite Breeders' Cup moments.
Well, Caton, listen, drive carefully to Keeneland. Thank you for spending a little time here this morning. Congratulations on your Jim McKay Award and on being this week's Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. Say hi to Doug for me, and we'll talk to you here soon.
I will. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Caton Bradar, catch her on TVG. She does a tremendous, tremendous job and a fabulous interview as well. Going to get to another break. When I come back, we'll talk more Breeders' Cup. I'll do that with Ed DeRosa, the Duke. We'll talk to him. He's from Twin Spires. He's from Briss. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites.
This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
War Front. This son of Danzig ranks among the world's elite sires. With grade one winners on dirt and turf and star performers both at home and abroad, Warfront's success as an international super sire is unmatched. Recent grade one winners include Omaha Beach and Preakness Stakes hero War of Will. In the auction ring, Warfront was the number one sire by highest average at Keeneland September, with yearlings commanding prices up to $2.9 million. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Recognized for raising and selling racehorses, Millridge has raised or sold 8 Breeders' Cup winners since 2000, including Oscar Performance, who is in his second year at stud at Millridge. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners. That's nearly 2 per year for 18 years. Their consignment at Keeneland November includes broodmare offerings from Judmont Farms and their great female families, along with leading breeder George Strawbridge and his foundation-building families, all selling without reserve. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
So it is a raving beauty turning for home in front. Magic Wand to the outside second. Final Delusion comes into the stretch three wide. Then four start from Sister Charlie on the far outside. Into the final furlong, the Raving Beauty trying to hold off Wild Illusion. And here she comes. Sister Charlie is there too. And then it's Magic Wand, a 16th to go. Here comes Wild Illusion after a Raving Beauty. Sister Charlie on the far outside. The three of them coming down to the line. And it is Sister Charlie who ran down Wild Illusion in the last strides to do it. A Raving Beauty held on for third, and Magic Wand was fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call of last year's filly and mare Turf and Sister Charlie. Running everybody down in the final stride, she's back to defend her crown at Santa Anita coming up next Saturday. We edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. In case you're wondering, now only 6 days, 4 hours, and 22 minutes until it all kicks off at the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains in Arcadia, California. You heard that Millridge ad in that last commercial break talking about Oscar Performance, who stands stud at Millridge. Don't forget that he is going to be available for inspection at an open house from 12:30 to 2:30 on Wednesday, November 6th. Keep that in mind. Through Sunday, November 10th, 12:30 to 2:30. That's the week of the Keeneland November sale. You can stop out and see Oscar Performance. And I was out there for a party about a month ago, and they brought Oscar Performance out. And let me tell you, do yourself a favor and go see him. you don't want to miss seeing him while you're in town. His 2020 stud fee is $20,000 or $15,000 for multiple mares. If you want to breed multiple mares to him, it's a Heedley price. They do a phenomenal job over there at Millridge. Don't forget that you won't want to miss any coverage of the fall racing, including the Breeders' Cup, like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app, or have an email sent to you once a day, or listen on your Alexa device. All of those are free. Simply go to bloodhorse.com/daily. Well, the Duke of Degeneracy, Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and Twin Spires, can be heard every Thursday night on this network, the BrisNet.com call-in show. So many of you call into that show every week and get a chance to talk to Ed and the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Ed is with me now here on HRRN. Ed, good morning, my friend.
Good morning from Columbus.
You're in Columbus?
I am.
For the big Buckeye game?
Well, yeah, it lost a little luster when Wisconsin laid an egg last week, but still got to win every game, so there's excitement in the air.
I don't think I knew that you were a Buckeye fan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're an Ohio guy.
Yeah.
You're better off with them than the Cleveland Browns right now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the Browns, I mean, I cheer for the Browns and the Cavs because I'm from Cleveland, but my heart's with the Indians and Buckeyes.
Well, I know your heart's also with Sister Charlie, and I was hoping to get you on during the commercial break a few minutes ago because I went ahead and played Sister Charlie winning the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf last year because you responded to our poll question about your favorite Breeders' Cup memories, and that was the first one you listed.
Yeah, just was at Churchill Downs, so my first Breeders' Cup, living in Louisville, and just for whatever reason, decided to watch that race up past the finish line. And I remember watching her go by into the turn the first time around. And she just looked loaded. And I knew then she was going to win, which I always tell people is kind of the negative thing with as much races as we watch, Mike, because I feel like 90% of the time I know within a quarter of the race if the horse I picked is going to win or lose. So
really?
It kind of takes some of the, yeah, I mean, you know when you're watching a jockey that has no horse or has a ton of horse. You're
pretty much all the ones I bet on are like that.
So I shouldn't say win or lose, but you, I watch enough now that, I mean, I just know a few jumps in, either I'm going to get a thrill for my money or this horse doesn't have it today. And Sister Charlie, thankfully, was the positive side of that. She just looked so good. I was in the clear, so it was a great ride, and it was just fun to capitalize. And that's part of what Breeders' Cup is a better pari-mutuel game. We know these Europeans, especially the bigger name trainers like Aidan O'Brien, bring horses over, and they rightfully take money, but that improves the price on maybe the Americans you might like in the turf, as is the case with Sister Charlie with Magical. Likely taking her on should be a great race, maybe the race of the weekend.
Yeah, well, actually, Magical, I'm looking here at the pre-entries. Magical has her first preference in the Breeders' Cup turf, so assuming she gets into that race, Sister Charlie won't have to deal with her. She won't have to deal with Iridessa, who is also pointing for the turf. A lot still to be determined if they do get into those races. But
yeah, I'm not sure what kind of games Aiden's playing. He's vocally said Magical's going to the Filly and Mare turf.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they listed her, whoever does the pre-entry the Coolmore conglomerate. I don't want to say they made a mistake, or I know they're very involved in bookmaking over there. Maybe they're hoping to catch a price or something. But Aidan O'Brien has twice said, both after she won the British Champions, which unbelievable to come back 2 weeks after the Arc and take a race like that. He said he'd be keen to try the Filly and Mare turf. And then after pre-entries came out, I'm guessing someone Racing Post or similar asked him, hey, what's up with the second preference to the Filly and Mare turf? And he said, oh, no, that's where we're going. So,
yes,
I'll take,
I don't
I'll take
know.
Aiden at his word, but
I
want to see it. If I've told people I would pick Sister Charlie against Winx or Enable, so I'm certainly not backing down from Magical. And it's the race you want to see. And if she gets beat, then you tip your cap. And if she wins, then it becomes all the better.
Yeah, and see, you may know this even better than I would. I don't know the answer to this question. But if a horse gets first preference, if it's listed as first preference in a certain race, the turf is not oversubscribed. So she's going to get into the turf if she decides to go that way. If she lists the turf, or her connections list the turf as first preference, does she have to go there? Or can she still take her second preference?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I always thought
it was just kind of a courtesy of telling. I always got the impression that you still physically enter a race, even when you pre-entered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, she can't go to the mile, for instance. Just is an extreme example. But I do think you actually enter the race fresh, and the pre-entries, the preference system is more a courtesy to the, you know, the people who have to give preference to horses and make the list and say who would be excluded, et cetera. But I do think you still have the choice between the two you've cross-entered.
Okay. All right.
But if Dora or Peter or someone's listening and wants to set the record straight, I hope they do.
Yeah, shoot me a text or an email here, mike@horseracingradio.net, and just clarify that one question. Outside
or at HRN on Twitter.
HRN on Twitter. There you go. Outside of Sister Charlie and that filly and mare turf, what other races are you looking forward to most?
And I've been among the vocal detractors of maybe the depth and quality of the classic field relative to other years. But year to year, I mean, it's the richest race in the country. Not anymore. It's one of the richest races in the country. Certainly from a horse of the year perspective, it's where, you know, you state your case or not. And, you know, this year I think Code of Honor really is probably the only one with a win who would be in the conversation, depending on what Bricks and Mortar and Midnight Bizou do. But it's still the classic. The big money's on the line. You have the filly now with an Able going for Bill Mott to spice things up a little from a storyline perspective. So, and it's the last race. You know, hopefully you're live in your pick fours and pick fives and can make a fortune with the right opinion. So the classic always stands tall for me. You know, whether it's a Ghost Zapper, Aziri, Pleasantly Perfect type year, this year where it's, you know, just competitive field and see where the chips fall, but definitely one of the top ones for me. And then from a competition standpoint, the sprint is unbelievable. Matoli, Sadler's Horse, Catalina Cruiser, Imperial Hint, Sir Chancelot. It's just top to bottom, one of the best sprints I can remember. So certainly looking forward to them throwing down. And the last one I'll mention, Mike, is the Juvenile. With Dennis's Moments Buzz and what Eight Rings has done for Baffert, classic Midwest versus West in this case, Maxfield spices things up as well. I expect that to be a great finish to Friday's card.
Do you have any horses that you're excited to bet on that you think you might get some good value?
Well, if Magical goes to the Filly and Mare turf, I definitely would play Sister Charlie at 2-1 or better. Other than that, I would say, Mike, my strongest opinions at this point are who I'm against. Midnight Bizou, and, you know, Anthony and I talk about this, love the connections. The fact that she's run 7 times this year is, I mean, it's practically unheard of for a grade one caliber horse at that level to run so many times. This will be 8. But I feel like, you know, if she's even money or less against what I consider a really accomplished group of competitors, I'm gonna take a shot against her. It's one of those situations where I think the record is what's taking money and not necessarily her being that much better than the rest of the field. Obviously, her championship is in the bag. No matter what happens in the Breeders' Cup, she's champion older female, yeah. No questions asked. But I'm going to play against her. And then Omaha Beach, just going to the Dirt Mile, which definitely was the right choice from that's the race I think he's most likely to win. But that also means that's the race he's going to take the most money. And second off that long a layoff against this quality field, just not for me. So those are my two strongest opinions from what I'm excited to wager.
I think that the Juvenile is a really good race this year. I think that these two-year-olds seem to be extremely talented, and I'm excited to see that one.
Oh, absolutely. And,
yeah.
And I think in, you know, recent years with fillies like Songbird, Unique Bellow somewhat petered out as a two-year-old before coming back. But, I mean, we've seen some really good two-year-old fillies at this time of year, and the males haven't quite generated that kind of excitement. American Pharoah went on the sidelines before his Triple Crown season. But this year with Dennis's Moment and Eight Rings and Maxfield belongs with them as well. Yeah, really exciting. And unquestionably, if one of those three were to run off the TV screen or in Maxfield's case, unleash a furious rally and get there, we'd have, I think, maybe the most exciting two-year-old we've been talking about in quite some time.
Ed, what can people expect when they go to brisnet.com and to twinspires.com when it comes to Breeders' Cup-related information?
A lot of good information over the next few days, Mike. Brisnet.com/BC is the site to check out. Make it easy for everyone, brisnet.com/BC. The report I'm most excited about, obviously the PPs Monday night, we're all excited to dig into, and the workout reports, et cetera, a lot of the similar things people have come to expect for our big events. But one thing we've added to the product roster this year is Kelly Riley, who's our main international writer, is going to put together what she calls her scouting report, and it goes through every single international-based Breeders' Cup entrant. It doesn't just look at the race. It's not giving picks. It gives you basically a biography of these international runners and how their form fits into the grade one level here in North America. I find it super helpful. Someone who's not a big replay watcher, but doesn't mind to read about races, her stuff is indispensable to me. So really encourage people to check that out at brisnet.com. Again, that's Kelly Riley's international scouting report, and it'll be available Tuesday.
You know, I just thought, hey, I have a connection out there in California. My wife, the Baroness, is working with Breeders' Cup. She's done this for several years, and she handles all of the pre-entries and the entries and puts the program together and all that stuff. So I sent her a message, and surprisingly, she responded to me. And she said, yes, a horse can enter their second preference, but they have to declare at the time of entry, which will be Monday. So, yeah, Magical can indeed, as you were thinking, go in the filly and mare turf if she chooses.
And that is the final line. So thank you to the Baroness for clarifying, confirming, et cetera. But, yeah, once Monday comes, there's no cross entries or anything like that. You're fully committed. So. Yep, that makes sense, and we'll see what happens Monday. I want to see it. I mean, obviously, you know, to me, if Sister Charlie wins at even money, it's great. Yay, she'll be champion. But, I want to see her face the best. That's what it's all about.
He's Ed DeRosa, brisnet.com, twinspires.com, and, of course, every Thursday night you can catch him here on the brisnet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ed, safe travels to California, and enjoy the Buckeyes and the Badgers later today.
Thank you. I have one final question for you.
Hmm.
As a Steelers fan, are you cheering for the Browns or Patriots this week?
Well, man. Well, can the ground open up and just swallow up both teams? Is that possible? Is there a big sinkhole at some point that happens?
Yeah, you never know in Cleveland.
Right, yeah, it might be, yeah. That would be the best case scenario for me.
Okay. So noted.
Yep. All right, pal.
Very good. Well, have a great Breeders' Cup week, my friend.
You got it. Enjoy your trip. All right, Ed DeRosa here on HRRN. Always a lot of fun. Going to get to one final break. Well, not a final break, but at least the next break, and then come back with Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela. Do not miss this upcoming interview. You're going to love it. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and Stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
World-class racing is back at Santa Anita, and with the Breeders' Cup World Championships coming for a record 10th time on November 1st and 2nd, you want to be sure to be a part of it. Please visit BreedersCup.com and click on the Plan Your Visit icon, or call Santa Anita Park at 626-574-RACE and make your reservations now for the biggest 2 days in racing. On Friday, November 1st, admission gates will open at 8:30, and on Saturday, November 2nd, admission gates will open at 8 a.m. Santa Anita, transforming tradition.
Bet any track from anywhere with Keeneland Select.
Keeneland Select offers something no other wagering platform does. A way to give back to the sport you love through Keeneland's reinvestment in thoroughbred racing and fan development. Become eligible for a $100 sign-up bonus and $50 for every $5,000 wagered with code HRRN10 at KeenelandSelect.com or download the app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
In 2019, Ghost Zapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back, Mike Penna, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Richard Mandela took the time to visit with Anthony Stabile earlier this week. Going to have that interview coming up momentarily. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out a podcast at your leisure. You can do that with all of our different talk shows. And of course, you can see our complete Breeders' Cup Week broadcast schedule there too. It all kicks off next Tuesday morning live from Santa Anita with the first of three Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by Red Brand Fence. They begin at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, hosted live from Clocker's Corner at the Great Race Place. Quick word for our friends over at Woodford Feed. I stopped in the other day. If you haven't been to Woodford Feed in Versailles, you're really missing out. Many people know that listen to this program, and people that know me know that I enjoy, one of my things outside of horse racing and the Pittsburgh Steelers is to do a little deer hunting. And I couldn't do it without the help of the folks at Woodford Feed. They have been an invaluable resource to me for everything that I need at the farm to make everything happen. And so many people that do deer hunt will take corn and put corn out for the deer and feed the deer throughout the year. Well, Woodford Feed has come out with a new corn topper product. And trust me, this is something that you want to go check out over there. It's not expensive. And it is, well, look, put it this way. It has molasses in it. And that's all you need to know. If you're a deer hunter, that's all you need to know. There is molasses in this product. There are several other things. It's a formula that Woodford has come up with. You sprinkle it on top of the corn piles, and it's a phenomenal deer attractant. So if you're looking for those kinds of things, if you're a deer hunter, head over to Woodford Feed. And, look, if you just have a farm, you're going to be out working at the farm when the weather turns cold here. They are an official Carhartt clothing dealer, and that's the best that you can get if you're going to be out there working on the farm when the weather turns cold. So stop by Woodford Feed in Versailles. See my man Bob Cleveland and all the great folks. They will take care of you. I promise you that at Woodford Feed. All right, Richard Mandela, he talked about the great Beholder because this is Beholder Week on the network, and he looked ahead to Omaha Beach.
Richard, thank you for some time today on Red Brand Radio. It's Beholder Week, if you didn't know.
Yeah, the man told me the other day.
I say Beholder. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
These championships, Breeders' Cups.
What was it like having a horse like her in the barn for so many years that you know that at some point during the season she's going to return? I mean, the three-time Breeders' Cup winner, and that was only one other guy that could say he trained the three-time Breeders' Cup winner. What was it like just knowing that she was going to be the cornerstone of the barn year in and year out?
That's a great thing. We've had, some horses like Sandpit and Siphon and Region and
unofficial results.
Gentlemen that were there for a long time, but kind of strange to have a mare, especially of her quality. And that's a chance to really get to
get a relationship going.
What are some of your best memories of her? Obviously, the Breeders' Cup races are they're the easy ones. Do you have any? Do you have a favorite Breeders' Cup win? Do you have a favorite race that you campaigned her for?
The last one. That's one of the all-time greats when she beat Songbird. Two heroic efforts, the two mares fighting it out. But a race that stands out as much as that or even more than any is the Pacific Classic where she just destroyed the colts.
Yeah, not something you've done a lot in your career, and not something we see often. Did you have that much confidence in the big mare and enough, obviously, to the attempt was to take on American Pharoah in the Breeders' Cup Classic that year. Did she give you that kind of confidence? Was she that kind of mare that you didn't worry about taking on the boys? Because I know a lot of trainers do worry about that with their fillies.
Now, with her, I really didn't worry about it that much. I had some pretty good horses in the barn, and I could give them any of them 10 lengths, and she'd catch them in a 16th of a mile in her workouts. So we didn't think she ever cared who it was. But after she won the Clement Hirsch Del Mar that year, hadn't even entered my mind until she won it so easy. And in the interview after the race, I announced, I said, it's time we need to step up and try the colts here and see what she's really made of. But she just gave you that kind of feeling.
They found out. We found out in a big way. Yeah. We found out in a big way. Do you think that was her most impressive effort?
Probably is, yeah. You know, although you got
three Breeders' Cup wins.
Songbird race. Songbird had never been beaten, and everybody knew what a great mare she was.
Take us through that heat. Because that was, of course, you know, every distaff, I think, will always be compared to Personal Ensign and Winning Colors. And I don't think we really had one to compare until 2016, just 3 years ago. Did you think you won the photo with Beholder?
I did. I thought she won, you know, by a little more than she actually did. I think she was raising her head back at the time they took the photo, and it kind of evened it up a little bit. But I thought she was the dominant of the two. So that could be prejudice.
Yeah, one of the mother of all distaffs, if you will, right alongside Personal Ensign and Winning Colors. We're talking to Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, celebrating Beholder Week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You get out to see her much, Richard?
Yeah, we see her quite a bit in Kentucky when we go there.
That's great. Does she come right over to you? Does she remember you?
It seems like it. You know, we go out and I'll holler at her out in the paddock, and she usually starts wandering over to me, and the other mares don't. So I guess she might remember.
That's got to be a good feeling spending all that time with a filly.
I don't think it was my personality. I think it was the mints that I used to feed her.
Did she have a particular kind of mints? Funny Side loved mints from CVS. You had to give him the CVS peppermints. He loved those. Did she have a particular mint she liked?
Beholder would eat anything.
Her and I have a lot in common there.
She'd eat watermelon, cake, anything.
Really? Watermelon and cake, huh?
Yeah. I can remember seeing her, you know, the people in the barn feeding her that stuff. She'd eat about
That's
anything
funny.
You'd put in front of her.
All right, let's go from the past to the present. Omaha Beach, you got another real good one on your hands here, and you mentioned the cavalcade of stars that have been in the Mandela barn. Omaha Beach, bit of a roller coaster year for him. How tough was the decision between, I guess, the two Breeders' Cup races, the sprint and the dirt mile? But I'd have to think that the classic is always the dangled carrot. How tough was it for you to make the decision to run him in this dirt mile?
I would have really liked to run him in the classic, and if he didn't have the value at for his stallion value wasn't so great, and afraid to make a mistake, I would have tried it. You know, it's a lot to ask one to go from a 6-furlong sprint to a mile and a quarter classic, but the sprint was probably tough enough. You could probably equal it to a normal mile race.
as fast as they ran that day on this racetrack. So, but saying that, I didn't want to be wrong and have him come up short and then diminish his career for being a stallion. So I thought this was the smarter thing to do, along, you know, with help from the owners to decide that. I'm just anxious to get the race on.
Well, you just have 8 days remaining until the 36th Breeders' Cup. The plan's to run now some conflicting reports. The plan is, I last heard, to run him after the Breeders' Cup?
Yes. We have a race December 26th called the Malibu. It's a grade one, 7 furlongs, and it's on December 26th. And there's the Pegasus Stake at the end of January. That's at Gulfstream Park. And then he would probably go to stud out right off of that.
Right after the Pegasus, okay. Talking to Richard Mandela, talking a little Beholder, talking a little Omaha Beach. The Breeders' Cup has been successful for the Mandela Barn. Can you believe it's 16 years ago since Mano Mandela, when you took 4 of the events right there at Santa Anita?
Seems like yesterday.
Talk us through that day a little bit. You win one and you win two. At what point did you realize that there was something really special in the air that afternoon?
I was so busy. I had 7 horses in Breeders' Cup races and then one in another stake afterwards. So we were pretty busy running back and forth, and then that dead heat took so long to get the result from, I almost didn't have time to saddle Pleasantly Perfect, although my son was there waiting to do the job. It was covered, but just didn't have time to really take it in until I got Pleasantly Perfect saddled and went up to the box and sat with the owner and watching the warm-up, and then it kind of hit me. First of all, I thought, this poor son of a gun must have 300 pounds on his back. There's no way I could win 4. And then he did it. Then he did it. And I don't know. I was kind of in a state of shock for a day.
Did you think you won the Johar photo?
I did think so, yeah.
And a couple in this year for the Breeders' Cup. Not only do you have Omaha Beach in that dirt mile, United going to take a shot in the turf. How are they both coming into this Breeders' Cup next weekend?
Yeah, both very good. Y'all saw the race of Omaha Beach. We ran United in the prep called the John Henry, and he ran third, beating a length and half or three quarters. But we had a little problem with him a week out. He hit his ankle playing around and took a few stitches and missed a couple days training we kind of lost the edge off of him with that. And I think with the extra quarter of a mile and hopefully no interruptions between now and then, I think we might see an even better horse, and it would take that for sure. We know that. But I think it might be there.
I know when you lead them over, you always hope and expect the best. Did you expect Omaha Beach to run as well as he did in that Santa Anita Sprint Championship last time out?
I don't know if you could actually expect any horse to run that good. I know the buyer was 103. I thought it was 130 myself. that sprinter that he beat, he dug in at the eighth pole and tried not to lose. And Omaha just wouldn't give up and just kept coming. And to run 8-3 on a track that's just not fast at all out here, I thought was pretty amazing. But I surely felt he'd run very good. But like I say, when they run that great, you're going hoping they do, but you never know.
All right. Well, Richard, thank you for some time today. Best of luck next weekend. Thanks for reminiscing on Beholder a little bit, and we look forward to watching both United and Omaha Beach in the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, happy Beholder
Friday
week
and Saturday
to everybody.
At the Great Race Place. Thanks, Richard.
How great is Hall of Famer Richard Mandela? What a career it's been, and still going strong. Omaha Beach, his main threat, I guess, if you can look at it like that. But he did talk about his other entrant. Should be fun to watch here at this year's Breeders' Cup. And thanks to Richard for taking the time to visit with Anthony on Red Brand Radio. Going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mohamed, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3. A dazzling son of Tapping, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
Mark your calendar for the Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National on Wednesday, November 27th. The card features 3 outstanding stakes races, the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes, the $100,000 Swatara Stakes, and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Futurity. Plus, there's a special $3,500 holiday cash giveaway. First post is 6 p.m. Eastern, with the stakes included in the early pick 4, comprised of races 1 through 4. Go to hcpn.com for details and rules.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Hey, did you know that Kentucky Breds are the most coveted horses in the world? That's right. Kentucky Breds will be strongly represented again in this year's Breeders' Cup with 114 horses pre-entered for racing signature event on November 1st and 2nd at Santa Anita, poised to add to their 212 Breeders' Cup victories. Think about that. Kentucky Breds have won the prestigious Breeders' Cup Classic 24 times, including the last 5 straight and 11 of the last 12 renewals. Breed them, raise them, race them. We all win. For more information, visit KentuckyBred.com. That's pretty remarkable. Wow, 11 of the last 12 and the last 5 straight in the Breeders' Cup Classic. The Classic this year is a race that some people are thinking, well, and I guess myself included, isn't the strongest Classic we've ever seen, and it certainly doesn't appear to be on paper, but no doubt it will provide some drama at the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains in Arcadia, California. Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a podcast of this show and, of course, to check out our full Breeders' Cup Week schedule. It all kicks off Tuesday morning. My thanks to Bobby Newman, Ned Toffee, Kate and Bradar, Ed DeRosa, and of course Richard Mandela for making this show possible here this morning. Follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and of course on Instagram as well. And thanks to everybody for tuning in here this morning. Make sure you're locked into us all week long, live from Santa Anita, beginning on Tuesday. For my producer, Lee Della Pina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening, and of course, go Steelers.